This is our desire. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for Pastor Kyle and our youth who are at their retreat being moored. They're receiving more. They're moored in Jesus. They're anchored in Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the work of God that you're doing in our youth today. But God, as we're praying for them, we just want to say, at whatever age and stage of life that we're at, God, we need you in our lives. We need you in our hearts. Thank you that you know where we are. Thank you that you know the temptations that we face. And thank you for what you've promised to us today. You're reassuring us that we have victory in our temptations. You're assuring us, God, you're going to take us today. You're going to take us through your word to a higher place, to a higher hope, to a higher reality of the kingdom of heaven that is within us. Lord, you're going to allow us by your grace and for your glory to be even greater overcomers through him who loved us. So Father, today we want to say that we love you. We love you because you first loved us. We love you, Lord, because your love never fails. We love you, Lord, because even if we're faithless, you remain faithful. And so, God, we just thank you for all you've done already in this morning. But we thank you for all you're going to do. Work powerfully, we pray. Let not a moment be wasted, but work powerfully in each heart. In the strong name of Jesus Christ. And the church said together, amen. I want to just say to our choir and our worship team, Pastor Jason, thank you for leading us this morning. Wasn't that a beautiful welcome into the presence of the Lord today? And I know, Pastor Jason, that you had scheduled that new song to be the song that we're going to do at the end.
Sure.
And I said, could we change that? Can I change my mind?
Well, of course.
Yeah. Can we do the one that you scheduled?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
We're going to do that new song, which is going to fit perfectly. So thanks, choir. That was awesome. Just wonderful. Would you like to sit down? I mean, it's great to be in the Lord's house. Good to have you here. Pastor Carsten mentioned one insert. I'd like to very quickly mention the other one. There's a beautiful green insert here. And we're going to be taking out membership. For those of you that have made SPA your home church and are not yet members, I would like to invite you to consider taking out membership. And there's two membership class opportunities. And we're going to be receiving new members on Sunday, December the 1st. Thanks for doing that. And then in a couple of weeks' time, you know, I think I said to the staff, I think I have every month a favorite service. A couple of weeks ago was one of my favorite services where we raised about $50,000 for our missionaries. And coming on Sunday, November the 3rd, this is my next favorite service that we do. It's SPA's Parade of Nations. And we are a church for every nation. Everybody please say every nation. And every generation, say every generation. Now, what we're going to do on this Sunday coming on the 3rd of November is we're going to have our Heritage Hour come in and be a part of our service. We normally have a Heritage Hour. I already had that this morning from 9 to 10, but they're going to come in. We're all going to join together. And we have over 55 birth nations that are represented by people that call SPA their home church. But you can see that there's 64 nations here that we have listed. I'm wondering, if you're here and your country of birth is not listed, you could let us know if you'd like to carry your flag for your country of birth. Or if you're here and you would like to participate in the Parade of Nations by carrying one of the flags as we make this missionary declaration of the glory of God all over the world, would you please fill this out? And in a little while, you can put this into the offering. And I look forward to this celebration every year of our Parade of Nations as we fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Ushering team, I'd like you to come. We're going to wait on you this morning for the Lord's tithe and your offerings. And if any of these sheets you've filled out, you can put them in. If you're new, please don't feel an obligation to give, but we'd love it if you put that sheet in the bulletin that lets us know that you're here. And let's pray before we worship the Lord in giving. Lord, we've already heard from your word. We've already sung to you. And now we bring you your tithe and the offerings. Father, I pray for the people of God today as they worship you, that the abundant grace and blessing of God would be multiplied in their lives In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving this morning. Nobody here. There's nobody here. Amen. I just thought we should have a little offertory there. That was unplanned. Terrifying to do that, I'll tell you. And you're all watching. I like to worship the Lord sometimes when nobody's speaking, so that's one that I like to sing. We are victorious, friends, in our temptations. Honestly, I wish we never had temptations at all. Just before we get into the message, I want to remind our active adults. It's our first active adults meeting this Thursday. And so there are tickets available at the Welcome Center. Three and Company are going to be with us. So if you're in that age group, active adults, this Thursday, you can pick up your tickets today for great food and some great music and a great time this Thursday night. I just wish I had no more temptations anymore. I don't like them. I have them. And so do you. But God has promised us, who are his children, that we will be victorious in our temptations. If you believe that, say amen. All right. So we're going to read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you have an NLT, you can turn there. That's the text we read from, just so that we're all on the same page on Sundays. But if not, just grab the Blue Pew Bible, because I want us to read this text together. It's page 875. So grab that Blue Pew Bible. Turn to page 875, and we're going to read this text together in a moment in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, just to set this up, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, God is illustrating to us and speaking about the time that he delivered his children from Egypt and was bringing them into the promised land. So he's talking about here the journey that took the children of Israel, the children of promise, out of Egypt and into the promised land. Now, I want you to know, those of you who are in Christ, Egypt represents the world. Egypt represents bondage. Egypt represents slavery. Egypt represents sin. And when you chose Christ, when you responded to Christ, Christ took you out of bondage and slavery and sin, out of darkness, out of death, into freedom, into life. But there's a journey that God is working in our lives as his children, as he takes us out of the world and into the promised land. So that's the setup before we read. So let's stand together, please, and we're going to read in concert together, just as we've sung in concert this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's begin reading at verse 6, and we'll read down to verse 14. Let's read it together. These things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble, as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us, They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. Father, I pray today that as we look into this text, we're looking into your word. I pray, Spirit of the living God, that you will, in each one of our lives, help us to hear the voice of God. Help us to identify, what's that area? What's that place? What's that space, God, that you're going to bring us into a new measure of freedom today, that you're going to bring us into a new place of victory today, because it is for that which Christ died. So, Lord, we give ourselves to you as we've already sung. Lord, we give you our hearts. Now move in our lives, we ask in Jesus' name, and the church said together, amen. Amen. Please be seated. God is calling us to experience victory in our temptation. So as we've read this text, the first thing we need to do is we need to heed the warnings from God. Are there any cat people in the house, cat lovers? Okay, so now this cat has a conundrum. This cat has a problem. Mama and Papa and everyone are not in the house. And on the floor is either dried or wet cat food. And sitting right before this cat's nose, because he's hopped up onto the counter, is this dainty little package of morsels. And these morsels, I mean, they look so appealing. Isn't that a good word, appealing? They look, I mean, they're just swimming around in there. It's fresh fish. And you need to know that the thought of dried or wet cat food is nowhere in the mind of this cat at the moment. But this cat is just thinking about that desire in its heart to satisfy its need with these beautiful, swimming, fresh, glowing goldfish. And the only thing keeping this smart cat from tipping over the jar is the knowledge that soon Mama and Papa are coming home. Probably the cat ate the fish. Now, none of us are going to eat goldfish. But these things, they happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did. As I told you, before I knew the Lord, I didn't have any problem with my cravings. I just indulged myself. I mean, I just lived as I thought was best. I just enjoyed life. But when I became a Christian, then all of a sudden there was a new heart in my life, a new mind, a new word with which to follow, and all of a sudden temptation became real for me. So can I ask you the question? I don't know what it is, but you do. Would you let God speak to you this morning? Because that's why we're here. What are those cravings that sometimes pull at your heart? What is that thing that entices you? What is that thing or those things that kind of pull you away from your true north of loving God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength? We need to heed the warnings from God. And the first place that we're able to do that is by protecting our heart from idolatry. Protect your heart from idolatry. So don't worship idols as some of them, the text says. And of course, I'm pretty sure that there's not going to be many or even any of you who after this service are going to go home and gather all of your gold and all of your silver and heat up the stove and melt it down and fashion it into some kind of a calf. Because we all know, as we look back on the Old Testament, you know, that they did that, didn't they? Moses was up on the mountain receiving the law from God, and God's people worshipped a golden calf. How silly. When God had provided for them, when God had led them, when God had delivered them, when God had done miracles, when God had done so, how silly that they would make a golden, we'd never do such a thing. And so I'm sure that none of you are going to go home, melt down your jewelry, and make a golden calf and bow down to it tonight. But can I just take a part of this to help you understand what an idol is? I don't want to talk about a calf. Can I just talk about gold? Gold. Money. Can I just talk about money? You see, money can be an idol. Power can be an idol. Pleasure can be an idol. Position can be an idol. Pride can be an idol. So the first thing that we need to do if we're going to protect ourselves is to look at our hearts and protect your heart from idolatry. Because when the Israelites worshipped this golden calf and Moses came down and he didn't hear the sound of victory, he heard a strange song. And he came down and Aaron said, well, the people wanted us to make him a god, and so that's what we did. Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? And the Levites ran to Moses. The Levites, of course, were the priests. And you are the priests. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. All of those who call upon the name of Jesus are offering spiritual sacrifices to the Lord in the name of Jesus. So the Levites ran to Moses. And as the Levites ran to Moses, a command was issued. Now go through the camp and kill your brothers and sisters. And 3,000 of them were killed that day, and the Lord struck them with a plague. So the point is, friends, that when we don't guard our hearts, there's a cost. And you see, because we're living in the age of grace and God isn't like opening up the earth and God isn't calling us, thank God, to kill one another when we sin, but to forgive one another when we sin, if you believe that, say amen. Because we're living in the age of grace, we just think, well, you know what, we can sin. And then we'll just say sorry and everything will be fine. But no. You see, you need to understand that there's a cost to our sinning. And you may not see it now, but there's an eternal cost to when we compromise our hearts. So what is an idol? Well, let me define it this way. That which is most important in your life. You see, when you came to Christ, God put a new heart in you. Our hearts before were hearts of stone. They couldn't understand spiritual truths. When we came to Christ, God gave us a heart of flesh. He put a new mind in us, a mind that actually hungers after His word, that hungers after the things and the purposes and the plans of God for our lives. And so the definition of an idol is that which is most important in your life. And we need to understand that now as Christians that we battle the world and we battle the devil, but we also battle the flesh, that old person that wants to rise up and have its own way in our hearts. And so David, the man after God's own heart, who wrote Psalm 139, which is such a beautiful psalm. I mean, it talks about me knit together in mother's womb. It talks about every day and every moment being planned out by God. God has a plan and a purpose for not only every day, but every moment of your waking life and sleeping life too. This is how we can protect our hearts, by praying a prayer like David did. Search me, O God. Not search you. I want you to know something. I'm not up here preaching at you. I'm up here preaching at me. Thanks for coming to listen. I'm not up here looking down at you thinking, yeah, God, get him. No, I'm thinking, God, get me. You see, David didn't say, search them, O God. He said, search me. Search my heart, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Anybody ever here ever struggled with worry? Worrying about something? Three of us, hallelujah. I mean, no, but when we worry, that's idolatry because we're not trusting God. Test my anxious thoughts, Lord. Search me. And here's a prayer we need to pray if we're going to know victory. Listen, victory over those things that tempt us, that steal away God's joy. See if there's anything in me. Point out anything, God, in my life. Point out anything in my life that offends you and lead me in the path of everlasting life. You see, an idol is that which takes first place in our hearts. So the text says, protect your heart from idolatry. How else can we heed the warnings from God? Well, secondly, the text tells us to purge yourself from earthly indulgences. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And this hasn't changed. Now, I'm not assuming that any of you, you know, are just waiting. I can't wait for this church service to be over because I'm going to go with my family and we are going to go home and we're going to get hammered. But I want you to know, there are people that live for the weekend. There are every Friday night, it's a drunk night. Every Saturday night, it's party night. So there are people that indulge in pagan revelry. There are people that say, eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. You know what? You only go around once in this life, so you might as well grab everything you can and enjoy it. And I'll tell you something about the indulgences that we need to guard ourselves. So I'm not expecting that's the one. You know, maybe some of you do struggle with alcohol, and God will give you the victory over that. He will give you the victory. Maybe some of you struggle with drugs. Maybe that which is legal, marijuana. I'm not talking about for a medical purpose, but maybe you struggle with marijuana. Maybe you struggle with prescription drugs. God will deliver you. God will give you a victory. I'm not talking about, if the doctors prescribe you something you need. You understand what I'm saying. But the indulgences that we need to guard against are not that we're going to go out and get stoned or we're going to go out and get hammered. No, no, no. I mean, for some of us, yes. And that's okay. God will give us victory. But do you know how subtle the indulgences are that we struggle with? The marketing machine of McDonald's puts it like this. Maybe, now it's not in the Bible, but you might be able to finish the sentence. You deserve a break today. You deserve a break today. Now the marketing minds at Harvey's, where you can put anything you want on your hamburger, they said, you can have it your way. You know what? You deserve a break today. You can have it your way. Well, I'll tell you something, friends. Those are the indulgences that we need to purge ourselves from in this world. Have you ever, hey, you know what? You've earned it. You deserve it. You just deserve it. You go and enjoy yourself. Hey, go and indulge yourself. Just indulge yourself. Well, you know what? I want to tell you something. I don't want to have it my way. I want to have it his way. So I'm not sure whether or not I deserve a break today or not, me personally, but I just want to have it his way, whatever that is. God, however that works out in my life, that's how I want to have it. And we need to, listen, there's an worldly and earthly mindset that says reward yourself. You know, you've done this. Just enjoy yourself. Have fun. I'm not talking about getting hammered, but just go and indulge yourself. Just indulge yourself. Just don't think about it. You deserve it. Well, listen. Let's just pray, God, I want to have it your way. I want to have it your way in my life. We need to purge ourselves from earthly indulgences. And the text also tells us that we need to purify yourself from sexual immorality. I'm telling you, friends, we live in such an age of sexual confusion. I remember back in the 1980s, let's read the text that says, and we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Listen. You're thinking, well, I know people are indulging in sexual immorality and they're not dying. No, but we're living in the age of grace, but there's a cost to sin. There's a cost in our lives to sin. I remember David Wilkerson wrote a book in the 80s called The Vision. Has anyone read that book, The Vision? If you have a copy of that book, read it again. If you haven't, I would recommend it. Get it. I mean, I remember reading it in the 1980s, and it was a vision that he had from the Lord, David Wilkerson, the founder of Teen Challenge, and he began to talk about things that were unbelievable. Well, actually, those things are happening now. One of the things that he talked about was the ability for us to speak and have anything we want. Do you know that God, that's how he created things? He spoke and created. And do you know now that we have the capacity to speak and create? We can speak and create whatever we want. You don't even have to touch the computer anymore. You just speak it. Siri will take you there. Now, you can go to a good place or you can go to just like this. You can go to a bad place. I remember David Wilkerson talking about pornography and talking about the ability to have pornography right in your room, right in your house, right at your fingertips. You could just click and it would be there. You see, the kind of sexual immorality that the Corinthians partook in, that was happening in the pagan temple. That was happening where there were temple prostitutes, so the men would go to the pagan temple, and they did engage with these temple prostitutes. But hey, today it happens on our computer. Today it happens on our smartphone. Today it happens on our iPad. So purify yourself from sexual immorality. And I know today that there would be some that struggle with this because we live in this sexually confused and this sexually charged society. And so God will give you victory over that. God will help you. God will show you a better way of living. Purify yourself from sexual immorality. These are the warnings we need to hear from God. The text secondly tells us to harness the words that we choose to speak. Harness the words that you choose to speak. Now, I want you to understand, you can't be responsible for anyone else's words, but listen now, you are responsible as a Christian for every word that you speak. If you believe that, don't say amen, just say ouch, because that is an ouch. You are responsible as a Christian for every word that you choose to speak. So harness the words you choose to speak. If you want to know a greater level of victory over temptation, you're going to have to follow the admonition. Nor should we put Christ to the test. You're thinking, well, where was Christ in this Old Testament? Christ was right there. And where is Christ today? Christ is in you. He's the hope of glory. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did and then were destroyed by the angel of death. In Numbers 21, the children of Israel grumbled. They grumbled against Moses. You remember Moses? He was taking them out of Egypt and taking them into the land of promise, and they became impatient. I'm wondering how many of you here today in your Christian journey, you know that God is taking you, you know, from where you were and he's leading you somewhere, but you're impatient about some things. I mean, we need to be careful. One of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering, patient endurance. But they became impatient with Moses. And so they began to grumble. They said, Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt? Hey, can somebody remind me, what were they doing back in Egypt? They were slaves. Well, that's a pretty good reason to leave, isn't it? Why did you take us out of Egypt, Moses? Why did you bring us out in this desert to die? He didn't bring them out to die. He brought them out to bring them into the promised land. Why did you bring us here to die? And Moses, there's no food. And there's no drink. And by the way, the food that we have, we hate it. We just hate it. Manna. We've had manna pancakes. We've had manna potatoes. We've had banana bread. We hate manna. Where did the heavenly manna come from? Yeah, you see, so these people were not complaining against Moses only. But they were complaining against God. And friends, when we choose to allow words of grumbling to come out of our mouth, we're doing the same thing. And so snakes came and snakes began to bite the grumbling children of Israel. And I'll tell you something, you don't want to give the devil a foothold in your life because of the way that you speak your words. These snakes began to bite, and so God said to Moses, put a snake on a stick, and anybody who looks at the snake will live. And those of you that understand that Jesus was the fulfillment to that, Jesus was lifted up. And anyone that looks at Jesus is looking and living. He's come to give us newness of life. So harness the words that you choose to speak. I remember my father, who had a living relationship with Jesus. The last 3 years of his life, he struggled with cancer. And he had a plug in his body, and he had to have somebody come in and drain that plug in his home 3 times a week. And I would talk to my dad, as I do to my mom, almost every day by telephone. And for those last 3 years of his life, I have to tell you the truth, I don't remember my dad complaining. Now, there were times that I called him when he was a little bit down, but I don't remember him complaining. In fact, in those last years of his life, he would say to my mom, he would say, honey, do we have anything to complain about? Honey, hasn't God been good to us? And to tell you the truth, I think he had lots to complain about. He couldn't go hunting anymore. He couldn't go fishing anymore. He couldn't go to our camp anymore. I mean, he couldn't even travel because he had to have this nurse coming into the house. He couldn't bathe himself anymore. But you know what? My father chose not to complain, even though he had things he could have complained about. And what I do know, on the day that my dad died, I remember it was a Tuesday in staff meeting. I got on the plane right away. I didn't get to see my dad, but I did talk to him before I left. You know what he was able to say 3 times before he died? Jesus, come take me home. Jesus, come and take me home. Jesus, come and take me home. We need to harness the words that we speak because we're called to learn from their examples. Now, I'm not a carpenter, but somebody told me it would be wise if you measure twice and cut once. Is that true? Can I get a nod up there? I see. Yeah, that is. Is that right? I'm getting the nod from somebody that knows. If you don't measure twice, you're going to be wasting a lot of good product. Measure twice and cut once. These things happen. These people were bitten by snakes and died and then looked and lived. Would you please say, look and live? Say it again, look and live. And again, look and live. That's why Christ has saved us. And I had you speak it 3 times. These things happen to them as examples for us. And you might say, well, I've never seen a snake. Can I ask you, have you ever felt like the enemy's gaining a little more ground than he needs to in your life? Look and live. Look and live. and keep your tongue from speaking any evil. Because God has called us to speak words of life. Look at the text. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, how many want to enjoy life and see many happy days? Say amen. Me too. Well, then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Does anybody know what day it is tomorrow? Election day. Now, I'm sure that you've never heard anyone complain about politicians. But let me tell you what I've seen. British Columbia is completely different from Alberta politically. Do you understand me? And Ontario is completely different from both Alberta and British Columbia politically. Do you understand me? You've never heard anybody say, "What's wrong with those people from Ontario?" Yeah, you got an ouch. And the province of Quebec is different than Ontario and Alberta and British. Do you know what the big slogan is in British Columbia? ABC. That's the big ad that's out. Do you know what that stands for? Anybody but conservative. Nobody hit me here in Alberta now. I want to encourage you tomorrow. Go out and vote. It's your right to go out and vote. But then keep your tongue from speaking any, please say any, evil. I can tell you exactly what God wants you to do with the person who is going to be our prime minister for the next 4 years or however long it happens. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for those that are around them. I mean, don't speak evil against them. That's just what the world does. Keep your tongue from speaking any evil. Boy, Pastor Doug, that was good preaching. Thank you for preaching. We really enjoyed that, especially about the differences in the provinces. Amen. When does this sermon end? Listen, friends, this is what God's talking about. This is what God's talking to us about. Are we just going to be like the rest of the world, or are we going to be Christian? Are we going to talk like the rest of the world, or are we going to talk Christian? Well, it's up to us, isn't it? And we, friends, are to take care as we are living in the end times. Now, when this book was written, when God inspired this book, they were in the end times. But we are living today in the end times. And I want to tell you something about the end times. I don't know when, but sometime before next summer, if the Lord tarries, I'm going to preach a 3-week series on the end times. And I'm not looking forward to it. And I don't know if it's going to be 3 weeks in a row. I don't know if I'm going to preach this 3-week series in the morning or in the evening. I'm not sure. Because I'm not even sure if you're going to like what I preach, because I'm going to preach what the Bible says about the end times for 3 weeks. And you're thinking, yeah, but Jesus is coming in the end times. Well, that's true. But there's a lot of other things that the Bible says are happening in the end times. And to be telling you the truth, I don't like what the Bible says about the end times is happening in the church. I don't like what the Bible says about the end times that's happening in those who call themselves the people of God. It scares me. But you know what the end times are going to be like? They're going to be perilous times. They're going to be proud times. They're going to be abusive times. They're going to be disobedient times. They're going to be times when people have no use for God. They're going to be times where people have a form of religion, but they deny the power therein. And you know what the end times are going to be like? The end times are going to be a time when many, would you say many? Many Christians are deceived. I don't like that. But that's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says about the end times. So pray for me as I figure out when I'm going to preach this 3-week series on the end times. But we need to take care because we are living in the end times today. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Listen, friends, we're living in a time of great confusion. We're living in a time when right is being called wrong. We're living in a time when anything goes. Anything goes. Hey, whatever you want to do, just go ahead and do it. It won't bother anybody. Well, that's not true. It bothers God if it's not of Him. So we need to take care as Christians when we're living in the end times, by choosing carefully the words we speak. And then finally, concerning our words, no one enough has been said. No one enough has been said. Now, you can't control what anybody else says, but you can control what you say. And it should put a fear of God on your tongue to know that every idle word that you speak, every idle word that comes out of your mouth is going to cost. And while you can't control what other people say, do you know what you can do? You can influence it. Fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. Now, someone might say, well, what is gossip? Let me tell you. Gossip is talking about someone else when they're not there. Pretty simple. Gossip is speaking about another person, that which you don't have the guts to speak to their face. And most often, gossip is not even true. Because you're speaking what you think. You're not speaking what you know. You're not even talking to the direct source. You're just speaking what you think. And while you can control everything that comes out of your mouth and can't control what comes out of other people's mouths, here's what you can do. You might walk into a circle where somebody's talking about someone who's not there and what you're hearing is not true. Don't just walk by and say, hey, you know what? I know that person and I don't know them to be like that. Or maybe perhaps someone will come to you and they'll start talking to another person who's not there to you. And you could say, hey, you know what I'd do? If you really think that way about that person, why don't you give them a call? Why don't you go talk to them? Or, hey, can I go with you and talk to them with you? Know when enough has been said. You know what you can do? You can make this decision. Decide not to stir the pot. Do you know what I mean? Don't stir the pot. Instead, sweeten the pot. You have a choice. You have a choice in life. You can either stir the pot or you can sweeten the pot. So if we're going to have victory in our lives, more victory, we need to secondly harness the words that we choose to speak. Thirdly, if we're going to know greater victory, hand your weaknesses over to God. You may say, well, I'm not weak. Really? Oh, okay. Well, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. I've got it all together. Oh, you do? Congratulations. I don't. I mean, but I know the one who does. And he's the one who holds me all together. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. You see, in the world, you don't admit any weaknesses. You don't admit any struggles. You don't admit any problems. You just want to look like Mrs. Perfect and Mr. Perfect. I need you to know something, that if I were to peel back my attire here, there's no SP in the middle, super pastor. I'm just a person. And there are no super people. There's no superman and no superwomen except in make-believe. We're just people. And God loves us. Listen, God loves you just the way you are. So hand your weaknesses over to God. Don't say, well, I'm the king of my life. I'm the queen of my destiny. Well, you know what? God is the king of my life. I want him to be the king of my destiny. So how do you hand your weaknesses over to God? First of all, admit that you are not above temptation. Now, I want to straighten something up, because I know somebody's going to come and say, Pastor Doug, you had an apple up by temptation there. It wasn't an apple in the garden. I know that, but I don't know what it was. And how many like apples? Me too. I like apples. I like fruit. But I want you to think for a moment about temptation. Would you pray this prayer with me once here, and we'll pray it again. It's up on the screen. Let's pray it together. Jesus told us we need to pray this way. Let's pray it. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now, why did Jesus have us pray that? Because temptation is insidious. Don't think that you're above temptation. Don't think, I mean, I've seen all manner of people fall. I've seen single people fall, young people, old people, married people. I've seen board members and pastors and church leaders fall. Sometimes I've had somebody come to me and say, can you believe that person did that? And I say, yes, I can. In fact, it could have happened to me, except for the grace of God. Don't put yourself above somebody else. Think about how insidious temptation is. Can I ask you this question? How is it possible? How is it possible in a perfect world, created by a perfect father, who walked and talked with our first mom and dad, Adam and Eve? How is it possible in a perfect world where everything was given to them and created for them, and God said, you just reign over this and be blessed, just this one thing, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge. How is it possible that the fall of man happened? That shows you how insidious temptation is. And so when you do fall, and you will fall many times, ask God to keep you from tripping up. Get back up again. When you fall into something, when you say something that I'm not gonna speak, and you speak it, you say, God, I'm sorry. God, I give you my tongue. Please forgive me. You know, when you're just proud, and I mean, you, rather than you boasted about something you did, Lord, I didn't mean to. You know, it says, don't boast about what you do. Don't boast about what you have. Don't boast about what you own. All such boasting is evil. God, when you help me, Lord, not to boast. Help me just to be a generous person and a grateful person. When you fall into that sin of immorality or that sin of whatever it may be, just get back up again. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And now here's what I prayed for at the beginning of our message. And we'll have a moment to respond in just a moment. The musicians can come. Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. What area is God identifying in your life right now that he wants to bring greater victory in? Just let him do that. And let us run. Would you please say run? It doesn't say limp or walk. Let us run. God's created us to run with endurance the race that God set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He is the champion who initiates. He's the author and perfects the finisher. Listen, this doesn't all depend on you, this Christian race. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher and the perfecter of our faith. If you believe it, would you say amen? And so you see, this secret of Christ in you is to allow God to keep working through you. Christ is in you, but you don't have to pretend to be Mr. Perfect or Mr. Perfect, because none of us are. And when we pretend to be Mr. and Mrs. Perfect, we actually push people away. But when we're just honest about our humanity, we attract people to ourselves. Paul, the great apostle, had a thorn that was put into his flesh, and three times he prayed to the Lord, please take it away, because it was revealed to him. It was a messenger from Satan. And this is what Paul said. Every time the Lord said to me, my grace is all you need. So child of God, can I tell you something? His grace is all that you need today. My power works best in, would you say it with me, please? Weakness. Well, I want to be strong. Well, we're supposed to be strong in the Lord. The only way to be strong in the Lord is to be weak in ourselves. There's no other way. My power works best in weakness. So Paul says, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. Why? So the power of Christ can work through me. Can I tell you something as we wrap up on how to experience more victory today? God has created you to be a winner. A winner. Not a whiner and not a wiener. A winner. He's created you to win. And the temptations in your life, friend, are no different from what other people experience. And so let me say this to you. Jesus Christ will never fail you. He'll never fail you. Our God is faithful. Jesus Christ is faithful. He is standing by you. And let me tell you this, there is no force anywhere that can ever overpower you. How many remember Flip Wilson? Flip Wilson? Flip Wilson had a phrase. What was it? The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do it. I mean, I'm talking about Bill Cosby. I was going to put his picture up here, but I never did that. But Bill Cosby, he was Flip Wilson, and then he was Cliff Huxtable, America's dad. He wrote books on fatherhood, and nobody knew the stuff that was going on in the depths of his heart. But listen to me. All of the things that are going on in the secret place of people's lives are going to be brought out into the light one day. And so, Christian, understand, there is no force that can overpower you. He will not allow the temptation to be any more than you can stand. He's created you to be a winner, and your forever is secured in the love of God. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he meant it. Your forever is secured in him. And so no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here's the great news for all of us. When you are tempted, and you will be, today, tomorrow, and every day that you have, God will help you find the way out. Sometimes it might look like a steep road, but Jesus will be with you. And believe me, it's much better to take his road than to go to the left or than to go to the right, because this is the road that God has created for you. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure the temptation. And concerning your victory today in Jesus Christ, concerning the victory that God is bringing us into in a greater measure, your faith in Jesus Christ is the key to victorious living. I mean, don't begin to look at other people and say, well, I'm better than this one, and they struggle with that, and I struggle with this. And don't say, you know what? I mean, I'm Irish, and you know that the Irish, they all have temper. It's through our generations. We're going to break that temper in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're going to break it out. You're going to say, you know what? Through the generations, fear has been in our family. We're going to break that fear. Doubt, we're going to break that doubt. You know, there was abuse in our family, sexual abuse. We're going to break that today in the name of Jesus.